Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him, and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord.
Keep in mind as we listen to the words of the gospel, the good news, according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The risen Jesus appears to his disciples, offering them a benediction, a commission, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. But one of their number is missing, and his unbelief prompts another visit from the Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was also called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my fingers in the marks of the nails in my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were gathered again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have not seen me? Because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Last Sunday, as I came to church on Easter Sunday morning, I was having a little bit of trouble believing that they were telling what they were telling me about the fact that winter was almost over. As I drove in the 2 or 3 inches of snow, with the wind blowing and the temperature going down and down and down, it was hard to believe that winter was almost over. If I told you winter was over, would you have believed it last Sunday? There's a Peanuts comic strip in which Linus has been sent off to church camp. Linus is at the campfire in the evening, and it's obvious he's a little bit homesick. And Linus is asked to speak. And Linus gets up and with a quivering voice says, "I've been asked to speak, and as I stand before you this evening, I'm reminded of the words of Jeremiah. The words of Jeremiah who said, 'Let not your voice be found weeping, or your eyes full of tears, for I will reward your work, says the Lord, and I will return them from the land of their enemy.'" And then he says, "By the way, has anybody told you about the great pumpkin?" Well, I don't know how many of you have heard about the great pumpkin, but if you're not a Peanuts fan, you probably missed the great pumpkin. But then there are so many other things that we're asked to believe in. Things like ghosts. How many of you believe in ghosts? Or UFOs? Down in Roswell, that's a big topic. How about Santa Claus? Or the Easter Bunny? Or the Tooth Fairy? We have all of these things, but getting more serious, how about the resurrection? How about life after death? How about the day of judgment? Wow, there are a lot of things that we may question. Thomas Kuhn, in a book called The Structure of Scientific Revolution, sounds like a heavy reading, but it actually boils down to a little bit that I can share with you. He says that the discoveries of the present time demand that we change our pattern, our model of doing things. He calls it a paradigm shift. Paradigm literally means a pattern or a model. Things have had to change because of what's been happening. I can tell you personally, being here in front of a bunch of empty pews with some pictures of some of you there, it feels like a real paradigm shift. And be doing Zoom and live streaming, that's another big paradigm shift. It's taking some doing, and you would think, since there's nobody around, it'd be so much easier just to do my thing and then I'd have lots of free time, but it actually takes a lot more time to do. Well, that's a paradigm shift. Now, on Easter, when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb, they had a major paradigm shift. Their minds were set on taking these spices and these other things to the tomb to embalm the body of the man they had seen dying on a cross. Battered and scarred. It was not a pleasant thing to look forward to because it was a bloody mess. They went to the tomb for that purpose, and then the angel begins the whole thing by saying, "He's not here, he's risen." Wow. And then they meet Jesus on the road, and there the paradigm shift becomes a real powerful thing. Wow. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Imagine the shifting of their thinking. Now, Jesus has told them again and again and again that he was going to die and rise again, but you know, it's kind of one of those things that kind of goes in one ear and out the other. It's kind of like some people with this coronavirus. Oh, it'll hit other people, it won't bother me, I'm fine, I don't have to think about that. Well, then it hits, and all at once we have to shift our thinking in a different way, because, you know, there's more to it than what we think. The writer, well, in Peter's sermon in our first reading, he refers to a new birth. A new birth that means that as we become baptized into the body of Christ, something new is taking place. Now the old world is not there anymore for us. The old life, the old way of doing things was to do whatever the world did. But if we have been born again by water and the Spirit, in the waters of baptism, now we have a paradigm that shifts our attention from me, myself, and I, and what the world wants, to what Jesus wants, and to following Jesus' command, to love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Wow, what a paradigm shift. Do you believe? Do you really, really believe? I read something about a stonemason who was building a wall out of these big, heavy stones, putting some mortar in. And as he's doing it, of course, his trowel clicks on those rocks and makes a big noise. And about that time, a physicist who was teaching a class came by, and he said to his students, "You know, of course, those rocks and those stones are not solid." "No. No, those rocks and those stones are actually mostly empty space. They're a bunch of atoms, particles of energy zooming here and there and around and all over in random order. Their hardness is actually a mysterious attraction of some subatomic particles." Well, stonemason just clicks on that big stone and he hears it ring. As far as he's concerned, there's no paradigm shift there. It's still solid. And yet, what do you believe about what science tells us about the molecules moving around like that? About the things that we think are solid, which really are not? What do we believe? I think Thomas gets a bum rap. Thomas had all the facts. He had heard what the other disciples had heard with Jesus when he was traveling around. And he had seen that Jesus had died on the cross, something you just don't get up and walk away from. And in his book, dad is dead, period. That's it. Yeah, he was around when Jesus raised some people from the dead, but this is Jesus. He died, and he's dead. So when the disciples are in the upper room, and are in the room they're in, hiding away, they tell him, "We've seen the Lord." Now, I don't blame Thomas for being doubtful. Have you ever been a part of a group, like a sports team or maybe a sewing group or some other group where you've gotten to know people for 2 or 3 years and you know how they act, and after a while you realize that each member of that team, each member of that group has certain idiosyncrasies, something that makes them special, and sometimes they tease one another. They talk about one another. They share things. They pull pranks. Well, do you think the disciples were any different than that? For 3 years, they were traveling around with Jesus. All 3 years, they knew one another inside and out, and they knew some of their foibles. They knew some of their problems. They knew some of the things that would get their goat. And when Thomas enters the room and they say, "We have seen the Lord," he's not overly excited. And he's always waiting for the other shoe to drop and for somebody to say, "Well, we really were just joking." But it was no joke. A whole life had to change. A whole paradigm was shifted. Shifting and changing the way in which Thomas had to think. Well, the question for us today is, do you believe in the resurrection? That's the question. I'm calling everyone who is hearing this, seeing this, whether you're a member of the church or not, to put your faith on the line like Thomas did. Last month, I challenged you to pray. The reason for that was that the Joint Call Committee had met to work on the calling of a new pastor, and there was a great concern, and there still is, that we could afford to call a new pastor, a settled pastor. Wow. That was a problem. And what I said at that time, I say again today. The bottom line is this. Do we throw in the towel and just give up? Or do we trust God? Do we believe that all things are possible through God? I honestly believe that on our own, we're doomed to fail. We just, well, close the doors, lock the doors up, and turn off the lights. There's not much hope. But this I also believe, that with God, all things are possible. But here's the question, really, that comes right down to, are you ready for a paradigm shift? One of the things I want to help us remember is that paradigms require change. Now, many people would say, well, I really don't like much change. I'd like to keep things the way they are. Well, I'm here to tell you, and it may break your bubble, but in the 2 years that I've been here, this congregation has changed. There has been a paradigm shift in this congregation. And in many of you, I have seen a paradigm shift. Isn't that incredible that you've already made that shift, or one of those shifts? There may be more that we need to do. But that's what happens when we allow God, not ourselves, but God, to be in control. With that in mind, I suggested that we have a 24-hour prayer vigil. I actually suggest that we not just make it a 24-hour prayer vigil, that we make it a full-blown prayer vigil where some of you have already chosen a time that you'd be willing to pray, but I'd like to suggest that everybody choose a time every day to pray for some of these things. I'm going to hold this up. I don't know if it's going to show. Does it show? Hey, it does. The things that I've suggested, and if you've gotten your constant contact, it should be on your constant contact, this list, to pray for, pray for restoring the health of those with the coronavirus. I think I should have found a better way of showing those off. The second thing on the list, and hopefully you have that list, is, there we go, pray for the spiritual revival and renewal of our church, of your church. Third, pray, I have to look around the corner to see what I'm putting up here. Pray for the Joint Call Committee. They have done fantastic work. And it's been difficult, but they've done it. Not by themselves, but by the Holy Spirit. Pray for your church council. Those are another group of people I have every bit of admiration for. And then pray for the calling of a settled pastor. That's what we call them now. Because actually, you know, in all honesty, my wife will say she's not so sure about this, but I really do want to retire again someday. And pray for the increase of the finances to pay for him or her. 7. Pray for the openness to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Again, asking God to use his wisdom and his power to help it up. And then this one here is a little bit selfish, but please pray for Sue and me. And finally, if you haven't done this before, pray through the Psalms. You know, you don't have to, and when you're praying for any of these things, you don't have to have big flowery words. Simply pray from your heart, and God will understand. So, this truly is a test of our faith. Do we really believe, or do we just go through the motions? What is it you believe? Sing with me.